Growing up, most of us learn Christmas is a time of joy, of family, of celebration. We know the story of the Advent season is supposed to be about the best gift, Jesus, but it's easy to lose sight of him in the hustle and bustle of our culture. This year, let's choose to make our Advent different. Let's remember that Advent means arrival. It's a season celebrated by the church around the globe of expectant waiting, hopeful anticipation, and joyful preparation for Christ's entry into our world. The real story of Christmas isn't about Amazon Prime or the perfect selfie. It's about our Savior and the moment he entered our world to make things right. And that changes everything.
All right. Well, welcome, everybody, to Black Hawk Church. My name is Matt Metzger. I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team, and I am the pastor of Black Hawk Church downtown. And man, it's so good to have a chance to be with you guys. Welcome to all of you live in the room right now. Welcome to all of you at Black Hawk downtown, at Fitchburg, across the hall in the gallery, in Traditions, in our Chinese venue, everyone watching online. It is so good to just get a chance to be able to be together. And it's really good to be back up here again. It is, it's been a little while since I've been up here on stage. Somewhere in the middle of the summer, we had some changes that took place in our college ministry with staffing, and there was a gap. When I came on staff, I was the college pastor, and I've moved on to doing Black Hawk downtown since then, but I was asked to step back in and sort of help with the transition of everything with college ministry, along with the other things I was doing. And so we decided as a team, it would be good for me to just take a break in order to really focus my direction that way. And we have an amazing college ministry team now that we've had a chance to be able to hire with Michael Napstad and with Lynn Bienick. And the two of them are just crushing it when it comes to college ministry around here, with us being really a university community church that loves the campus really well. And for the two of them, they actually, this coming Friday, both have their rookie experience with study day, very first time. How's that for you? Hey, welcome to staff. Why don't you throw a party for thousands of college students? And so they could use your help. If you wouldn't mind jumping in, looking at volunteering and bringing food, that would be absolutely amazing. You can stop by the info center afterwards and get more information of that. But all that to say, really good to be back up here again. And we are in week two of this series where we're taking a look at Advent. And Advent is the four Sundays prior to Christmas. And I know that for some of us, we grew up with the traditions of Advent. Some of you went to a church where you had the wreath with the candles like what we do here. Some of you grew up with the Advent calendar at home. We do that for our girls, you know, with all the little doors on it. Anybody else have that growing up at all sites, venues? Yeah, a bunch of you did. And every day you open a door, we would do that for our girls. And some years, like, it would be Legos in there. One year, we did gummy vitamins. I don't know if we had just forgotten that year. It's like, quick, get the vitamins, throw them in there. Hey, you know, so, but that's what we went with. But we, you know, for a lot of us, we know the idea of Advent, but we don't really know the depth of what Advent truly is all about. If you missed last week's message, you just need to go back online and get a chance to listen to it as Chris unpacks really the idea of why we celebrate Advent. Advent is a time for us as people to reboot on the things that matter most. And we focus on the four different themes being hope, which Chris dealt with last week, and peace, which we'll talk about today, and then joy and love. And you know, in this broken world that we live in. We all know that. We live in a broken world. Turn on the news. It's a broken world that we live in. And it helps us to reboot and focus on things that I believe we limit in our lives. We look at them too small. And it gives us a chance to be able to see them differently. We've wanted to help the church altogether be able to look at the subject of Advent. And so we created, if you use a smart device and have downloaded the YouVersion Bible app and the plans that you have there, we have an Advent plan that you can go through during that time. I've been going through it. It's really been fantastic. And so jump in and be a part of that with us. But today, we get a chance to talk about peace. And peace, I really get excited that that out of the four that I got peace. Because one, you see the topic of peace all the time in Christmas stuff. Like from artwork to ornaments to like mugs that you'll find to a 3D Christmas sweater. You know, I mean like it's a word that is used around Christmas a lot. And yet, let's be honest. How many of us, when we think of the season, like from now up to Christmas Day, we just think of it as the most peaceful time in our lives? Are you kidding me? You know, like, there is nothing peaceful about this season. I mean, when we think of the different things that we have going on, you think of parties and celebrations and extra stuff on your schedule that maybe you have to make food for. Yeah, that's peaceful. Or maybe you still have some Christmas shopping to do, or maybe you're like me, you haven't started yet. And let's just go to the mall because there's the most peaceful place in town. You know, or maybe you're gonna hop online and do all of your stuff on Amazon. And so you're looking for the best deals and comparing things, and you just start buying, and there's cardboard boxes coming, and you're opening stuff, trying to decide if you're gonna keep it or if you're gonna go ahead and ship it back. And with the amount of cardboard boxes, you could just literally like make the word peace out of the cardboard boxes that you have in your home at this point. Some of you undergrad or grad students, yeah, this is peaceful time. You know, I mean, with the projects and papers and finals that you have coming up, or if you're like juggling your kids' schedule with the extra things that they have going on, the different recitals that are supposed to bring peace to your life as you watch your child on stage, or the different parties and gatherings that they're going to. Like, there is like nothing peaceful about this time if we really were to stop and think about it. And in all honesty, I think it kind of points to a bigger issue that for so many of us we deal with in our lives. Christmas is a time where it's like we just pile more and more stuff onto our lives and our schedules. But really, like if you look at society today, we've just become good at that all the time, haven't we? Where it's like we're just constantly piling things on and adding things to our schedule and taking on more initiatives. And in reality, like when you stop and talk to many people in the world today, if you ask them how they were doing, the first answer they would say, if you walked up to someone and said, hey, how you doing? The first answer you're gonna hear is, I'm just busy. Like, I just have a lot going on. I'm just really full right now. It's like we wear busyness like a badge of honor in some way. And yet it goes from that place of being busy to being overcommitted, to being stressed and tense, to being angry or fearful about everything that's coming up, to being full of anxiety and despair and depression. And that's just like become like part of our world that we live in. We just continue to pile stuff on. Our lives are kind of like this picture that I saw recently. Isn't that just insane? Like, that is just unbelievable. That was actually in Harvard Business Review. Someone was showing me that picture. It was an article on businesses that try to take on too much. And as I looked at it, I thought, businesses, that's just my life. But the funny thing is, I was looking at the picture. I had a friend who walked up, a coworker. She looked at that picture, and without even knowing the context, she said, are you kidding me? That is my life. And let's be honest, as we see that, how many of us just go, yep, that's me. Yeah, let's go out for a peaceful bike ride. You know, and yet then all the stuff that you pile on, you're just like hoping you keep it all together and can balance it all and somehow get a little farther down the road without totally losing it. That's the world that we live in today. The world that we live in, so many of us would say there is no peace. And yet remember this time that we talk about of Advent, where we remember the coming of Jesus. One of the main reasons why God sent his son into this world was to bring us peace. It's worth it to stop and reboot and to remember that concept. God sent his son into this world to bring us peace. And it's written about all through scripture. Jesus talked about it all throughout the New Testament. Many of the writers of the New Testament talked about it. It's written about all throughout the Old Testament. All the way, I mean, like, we're gonna look at a passage today that was written about the coming of the Savior, like hundreds of years before the time, 700 years or so before Jesus came onto the scene. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles or if you pull out your phone or your iPad or whatever it is that you use, turn with me to Isaiah, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Isaiah is a book of much of it prophetic writing, many different places about the coming Savior. And in this one particular section, the prophet Isaiah, verses 6 and 7 of chapter 9 says this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." This child that would enter this world, he would be known as the Prince of Peace. And he would come to bring justice to this world and right governmental order to a different way for us to live our lives. So the word that actually is used there for peace is a Hebrew word that for many of us, I think we're probably familiar with to some level or another. It's the word shalom. Shalom is a word that if you are around Hebrew culture at all, you know that word is still used. It's used in some cases as a term of greeting. It can be a term that people use of blessing that they would show to another person. But the Hebrew term shalom, when we really get into it, like it's an incredibly deep well. It goes so much farther beyond our English word of peace. We think of the English word of peace. We think of like the ending of wars. You know, like John. I love the John Lennon song "Happy Christmas, War is Over." Like it goes so much deeper than that. It's such a deep dive that actually my wife, when she did a study on it, it had such a great impact on her that that she had the word tattooed on her forearm as a way just to remember the way that we are called to live our lives in everyday situations. It's a word meaning wholeness or completeness. To give us a better idea of this word, I'd like to take a look at just a section of a video for just a minute. One of our previous staff people, Tim Mackey, good friend of ours, created this website called The Bible Project with all of these videos having to do with different biblical themes and biblical books. If you've never looked at it, you need to go to The Bible Project. But he did recently this set of four videos on the subjects of Advent, and in that he talks about the word shalom. Let's go for just a minute to take a look at one of these.
In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is eirene. The most basic meaning of shalom is complete or whole. The word can refer to a stone that has a perfect whole shape with no cracks. It can also refer to a completed stone wall that has no gaps and no missing bricks. Shalom refers to something that's complex with lots of pieces that's in a state of completeness, wholeness. It's like Job, who says his tents are in a state of shalom because he counted his flock and no animals are missing. This is why shalom can refer to a person's well-being. Like when David visited his brothers on the battlefield, he asked about their shalom. The core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations, and when any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole. It needs to be restored. In fact, that's the basic meaning of shalom when you use it as a verb. To bring shalom literally means to make complete or restore. So Solomon brings shalom to the unfinished temple when he completes it. Or if your animal accidentally damages your neighbor's field, you shalom them by giving them a complete repayment for their loss. You take what's missing and you restore it to wholeness. The same goes for human relationships. In the book of Proverbs, to reconcile and heal a broken relationship is to bring shalom. And when rival kingdoms make shalom in the Bible, it doesn't just mean they stop fighting. It also means they start working together for each other's benefit.
Working for each other's benefit. You see, shalom is not a word that just means like ending fights between different people, putting an end to wars. That's only part of it. It's the pendulum swing all the way to the other side of seeking the good and the benefit of those who we used to fight with. Of now, rather than battling with people, of now seeking their well-being above our own well-being. It's a crazy concept. And that's the way that God intended for this world to be from the beginning. When he created us, he created us as humanity to be one in right relationship with God, to be God-centered in our lives, and then to be in right relationship with each other on every level, that we would be God-centered and other-centered. But then, well, humanity did a really good job of messing that up. Sin enters the world. It's been a part of every person's life. And in that, rather than us being God-centered or other-centered, now, because of sin in our lives, we become self-centered. And that's the problem. And so God, he sent his son into this world to bring back shalom, to bring this idea. God sends his son into this world to live the life that you and I were supposed to live but failed to. And to die the death that you and I were supposed to die because of our sin. Jesus sacrificing himself for us. And now, as a gift, he offers his sacrifice to us, so that for any of us who place our faith in Jesus, in him alone for our salvation, not on my own good works, but on Jesus, who he is, for any of us who accept that, we have the ability to be once again in right relationship with God. And he gives us the opportunity to be a part of his new government, of his like re-shaloming of the world, if you will. Of being people who would be about bringing back this idea, this concept of peace and shalom in the world. You and I have a role to play in that, in fighting for the rights of those who can't fight for themselves and finding justice, in lifting up those in life who have been pushed down, in preserving the gift of the earth that it is that God has given to us, in caring for the needs of those who we know who are in need, of seeking forgiveness of those that we know that we've wronged and we've hurt in our lives, and at the same time, being willing to show grace and mercy and forgiveness to those who have hurt us. And when the opportunity rises, to have the opportunity to share the message of Jesus with those who don't know who in the world he is. That is the idea. Like, that's our calling. That's what God has called us into, this level of being able to kind of re-shalom the world. Okay, great. That gives us an idea of our calling. But What do I do with this like stress and tension and anxiety that I have in my life? You see, the thing I think that we need to remember is that when God sent his son into this world, he sent it to bring the world peace, but that wasn't just corporately and collectively, but he sent his son into this world that we as individuals might also find true peace. You see, peace is talked about in scripture a couple of different ways. One way it's talked about is this collective idea of the, like, of it's, and the breaking down of that peace is like when we see everything from two countries who are warring with one another all the way down to a person who flips somebody off. You know, we know that the world is broken, you know, and there is no peace. It's a broken world. Just turn on the news. You see it everywhere. But then there's another way that peace is talked about in scripture, and that is this, not just the external reality, but this internal experience that I have with peace. It's this inner turmoil that I feel when I see two countries warring or when a person on the street flips me off. You know, that affects me. There's an effect that it has on my life. And the stress and tension that we feel in this world, we all internally long for this idea of peace, and we can't seem to find it. It's kind of like this. Okay, so every year at Christmas, one of the things that my wife and I, we do for our girls is we buy them Christmas ornaments. We've done this every year for them ever since they were little. Anyone, like your parents did that for you growing up, or you do that for your kids, anyone raise a hand? Yeah, there's like eight of us. That's awesome. So sorry, just had to go. So we do this every year for our girls. And one year my wife got this great idea. She decided to get them 3D puzzle ornaments. You see, my wife and my daughters, they are puzzle people. Like every year at the holidays, like there's a puzzle that comes out on our dining room table that just takes over for a while, you know? And so, and they'll just sit there and put pieces together. Now, I don't know about you, but I loathe puzzles. I like, they stress me out. As soon as it hits the table and I see all the pieces, my blood pressure rises. I just feel like, why would anyone think that was enjoyable? And they're like, Matt, no, it's because you're bringing order out of chaos. It's so great. I'm like, yeah, but it was a perfectly good picture before it was cut. Someone brought chaos to that, and now you're having to deal with it. I got plenty of that in my life already. Okay, that's a whole nother sermon. I'm just stop there. But anyway, they love puzzles, okay? And so my wife decided to get them these puzzle ornaments. Look at that. Isn't that awesome? It's just like, and you hang a little string from it, and there it is right there, all put together. Now, but see, the thing is to get it to this place was like close to impossible, because forever it looked just way more like this. And see, the thing is that you find with puzzle balls is we did these, we had no idea. I mean, wife thought, yeah, this is a great idea until we tried it. And the thing that happens with puzzle balls is you start to put the pieces together. And then what happens is you begin to like put the next piece in, it puts stress and tension on the other side of the ball and a piece falls out. And so then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I need to deal with this. And so you start putting that one back in and get another one around it, and something, a whole section will fall off on the other side. And you find you are having a battle with the puzzle ball, even though you know where the pieces are supposed to fit, they're not staying in their home. You know, and I found as I was working on this, I was like having an argument with puzzle pieces, trying to talk them into staying where they were supposed to be. Like, don't you realize this is where you fit in life, and it will be like, just stay and you get it there. All for crying out loud, you're falling out like just like that. I don't know if you like, yeah, as I'm talking, there goes a whole nother section. Thank you very much. Point made. It is exhausting. As we try to hold the pieces together, putting one in and on the other side, another one falls out. Do you ever feel like that's my life? Like in the lives that we live, we're trying so desperately to hold the pieces of life together. And we think if I could just simply get my life to look like that ornament where everything was in its place, then I would finally find peace. And so we try so hard, but the thing is as soon as we put a piece in, something pops out on the other side. It's like you lose your job, piece pops out. And so you go and you finally find another job and you get that into place. And as soon as you do, you get into a fight with a family member, pops out. You know, and then as finally as you get that taken care of, then all of a sudden you got financial issues. And then as you get that taken care of in your life, your car breaks down. Then once, as soon as you get your car fixed, you get a phone call that a friend or someone you know has a terminal illness. It's like the pieces will never fit together, and you just constantly find yourself in a battle with this like orb that you think if you finally get taken care of, you will find true peace. And it's exhausting. You know, I mean, for some of us, we get to the place, it's like you deal with that for so long and you start to wonder, is peace even like possible? Like, does it even really exist? And we get to the place after a certain amount of time where we think it's not even there. We end up, for a lot of us, like settling for things rather than where we find true peace of just simply like temporarily numbing the pain. It's the time where life has been so stressful in a particular day and so exhausting, you get to the end of the day and you just think, I just need a drink. You know, and we can turn to alcohol, people turn to drugs, people turn to binge watching Netflix for an entire weekend. They can turn to porn or to shopping sprees that are just massive, overeating, to all of these things to kind of temporarily numb this pain in our lives because we can't find peace. But then as the numbing of that wears off, all of a sudden we realize that our world is still broken and now some other pieces have fallen off and the guilt that you feel, and you just wonder, man, how do we make it anywhere? You see, the reason why we reboot is at a time like Advent is to remember that God sent his son into this world, not just to be a numbing agent for us, but to be our peace, to offer us true shalom that we can find in spite of the circumstances of our lives. You see, for all of us, when we look at the world and we look at the calling that we have of being a part of bringing shalom to this world, we all like that, and we know the world's broken, and we know that on this side of heaven, the world's gonna be broken. We're not expecting that once we all are in this, everything is gonna work out really well. We know it's a broken world, but then see, when we look at our own lives, we think that the pieces, if we could just simply get them all together, man, our life would be great. And we think that now, okay, that I've accepted Jesus, now I have God on my side, and so now he's gonna cause all the pieces to fit together so I can finally find peace. Yet the reality is what God says is if you're looking to this broken world to be the thing that gives you peace, you will never get there on this side of heaven. Because what God did is he said, you live in a broken world. And so I'm sending my son into this world to be your peace. That the peace that we find in Jesus would be something that supersedes the circumstances of our life. That even in the midst of the broken world, even in the midst of all of the puzzle pieces continue to pop out, that we would be people who could find peace in who Jesus says it is that we are, that we would find our value, our self-worth, our esteem, our calling in life, in who he is and what he says is true about us. Can I get an amen from anyone in the room right now? There's a rebooting that needs to happen. Remembering that we find our peace in the one who supersedes our circumstances. Jesus wanted his disciples to know this so well that he flat out came and told them this. And there was this one particular time recorded in the book of John. If you want to turn there, you're more than welcome to. John chapter 16. Jesus has been talking to his disciples, teaching them for a few chapters now. And at the end of this section, one of the last things that he says to his disciples is this verse here, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Not I have told you these things so that once you understand it, everything will fit together. Puzzle ball all in place and you will be peaceful. No. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. Because by the way, in this world, yeah, you will have trouble. Don't you love it when you see promises from God that you're like, really? That's all you've got right there? Like that's a promise from God. In this world, you're gonna have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. What's a guarantee in our lives? In this world, on this side of heaven, the puzzle pieces will never all fit together, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus wanted the disciples to understand this, and he wanted them to understand this in particular because of the time that Jesus was saying these words. He wanted them to understand that the peace of life would never come from their circumstances. And one of the most powerful things that we realize is that the time where Jesus was saying this to his disciples was like just right before he was headed with them to the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, he said these and then he prayed for his disciples, and right from that place they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was falsely accused by a friend and arrested. He was betrayed, he was beaten, and he was nailed to a cross. Do you think that Jesus in those moments in any way could look to the circumstances of life to bring him peace in that moment? I mean, Jesus, while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's like the stress and pressure of everything that was coming down on him was causing him to the place where it says that he was sweating blood, and he asked his father, Father, if you could take this from me, I would love that, but not my will, but your will be done. He wanted his disciples in this moment where the circumstances of life would feel like everything was falling apart to realize there was a peace that they could find in him because of what he was about to do for them and for us on the cross, because of his love for us and his desire to find peace in him rather than the circumstances of our lives. In just a couple minutes, we're gonna have the opportunity to be able to take communion together as we remember Jesus. All sites, all venues, wherever it is, your site pastor will have a chance to be able to take you through that. But I love the fact that on a day where we take communion is a day where we remember the words of Jesus right before he went to the cross. And the fact that he desired for our peace to come from somewhere different than our circumstances. Look, I don't know where you're at in life right now, but what would it be like if we could be people who in the midst of the Christmas season that we're in the midst of the lives that we live, that in those moments where it feels like the puzzle pieces are popping out, that we could be people who just remind ourselves, in this world, I am going to have trouble. But take heart, because Christ has overcome the world. That we would be people who look to our peace in him. There's a passage of scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, that says this: don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which transcends understanding, that I can find peace in the midst of times where it seems like everything is falling apart. Why? Because I'm not looking to those circumstances to bring me peace. I'm looking to Christ to be the one who is my peace. Here's what I'd like to do for just a moment, and I want to do this at all sites, all venues. I would love to take a minute just to pray for you. Just to pray for you, for in particular for people in the room who struggle with feeling like they have a lack of peace in their life right now. For some of you, as soon as we started this and you looked at that picture of the person on the bike, you, along with my friend, said, "Are you kidding me? That is my life." And for some of you right now, you walk around and, I mean, you are stressed, you are tense, you are overcommitted, you feel like you have too much on your plate. And we can go all the way down to you are a person who you are fearful about the future, you are angry about the present, you are overcommitted, you are full of anxiety, and you are even maybe struggling with depression. And what I'd love to do is to be able to pray for you in this moment. But what I'm going to ask you at all sites and all venues in just a moment is to do something tangible. It's nothing difficult. I'm not gonna have you like come up front and kneel, you know, or anything like that. But I'm just simply gonna ask in just a moment, if you are in that place, that you would raise your hand. Because I think there's something powerful sometimes for us to tangibly be able to admit our need for God in the midst of a community that we are loved and accepted in. And I think the thing that keeps us from doing that sometimes is the feeling like we're the only one. And so at all sites, all venues, if you would like to receive right now a prayer of peace, because I believe in prayer. I believe that God works through prayer. And if you're in a place in your life where you would like, because of the things going on, you would like someone to pray for you for peace in your life, at all sites, all venues right now. I know at sites and venues, you're raising your hand to a screen. I get that. This is not for me. This is for you and other people in your room. If you're in that place right now, would you just simply raise your hand? So I'm in need of peace. Yeah, and keep your hands up, all sites, and just look around for a minute. You see, you are not alone. We're really good at coming into church thinking we're the only one. Everyone else has it all together and we don't. Well, guess what? No perfect people allowed, you know, in church. And my hand is raised just with the rest of you. Let me take a minute to pray right now for all of us. Lord God, I thank you so much for people who were willing to just put their hand up saying that they are in need of you for peace. Because I'm one of those people as well. Thanks for putting us in a community together. And Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, would you reveal yourself to us today? God, we long for the peace that you can provide in our hearts, in our workplaces, in our classrooms, in our families, in our homes, and in our world. And so in the frantic pace that literally can push us, we feel like to the breaking point, would you teach us to be people who understand what it means to be still and know that you are God? And in the constant noise from the outside as well as from within, would you quiet our minds? Would you impress on our hearts the truth that, God, we are yours? Jesus, would you reveal to us areas in our lives and our relationships and the hopes and dreams that we have that we need to be able to surrender to you this week. The things that we are looking to in our lives to bring us peace, would you allow us to place those before you and allow you to be our peace? And in the end, Lord, would you be the one who gives us the ability to extend grace, mercy, forgiveness to others the same way you have for us, that we might bring shalom to this world we live in. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people at all sites and venues together said, Amen.